Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. I have to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of this station. They're my views, the views of our guests, the views of our callers, and of course we welcome your calls from out across America at 1-888-24-LIBERTY or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. But please hold your calls for the time being, because we hope we're going to have with us very shortly Linda Chavez. And Linda Chavez was actually nominated to become Secretary of Labor during the early months of the Bush administration. There was such a furor over her nomination that she withdrew her name. But she's a fascinating individual. She's worked for Fox News as a political analyst, a syndicated columnist, the host of various talk show programs. She was President George Bush's original nominee for Secretary of Labor. And she is now president of a nonprofit grassroots organization, Stop Union Political Abuse. She has been basically belonged to labor unions, as she's been in the hierarchy of labor unions, and she can speak, I think, with a fair amount of authority about what the labor union movement's all about. Her book, Betrayal, How Union Bosses Shake Down the Members and Corrupt the American Political System. Linda, thank you so much for being with us.
It's great to be with you.
Well, why don't you tell our listeners just a little bit about yourself, the people who don't know who you are. You actually worked for labor unions or in labor unions in the past?
Yes, during the late 1970s and early 1980s, prior to working for President Ronald Reagan, I worked for the American Federation of Teachers for almost a decade. And I was director of all the publications there and assistant to the union president, Albert Shanker.
Oh, all right, fine. So you can speak then with a certain amount of authority as far as the labor unions were concerned. Now, you seem to feel that the labor unions have a tremendous impact on our political system.
Well, I think it is the best kept secret in American politics today, and that is the role of unions and the role that unions play in modern elections. They are probably the decisive force in many elections, and in fact, in the year 2000, I don't think Al Gore would have won the popular vote had it not been for the unions and for their literally tens of millions of dollars, in fact, hundreds of millions of dollars of union dues that go toward the Democratic candidates.
All right, fine. Well, I think that most people don't understand how much money the unions actually invest in politics. Would you like to sort of pick that idea up and elaborate on it?
Sure. Unions take in $17 billion every year in dues from their members, even though they have been diminishing in size over the years. They only represent about 13% of American workers. Nonetheless, they are a very potent force in politics. Because that $17 billion is tax-free, members do not pay taxes on it. They can take their union dues off as a tax deduction, and the unions themselves do not pay taxes on the revenue. So, in a sense, all of us, even the almost 90% of Americans who don't belong to unions, are subsidizing union activity. And unfortunately, much of that activity is not about what the members think it's about. It's not getting better wages and better benefits for their workers. It's all about politics, and primarily electing very liberal members of Congress, members of boards of education, governors, and even the President of the United States.
And, of course, one of the things that really is incredible is that many of these liberal members of Congress are the very ones who are supporting the globalization that's shipping their jobs and the factories they work in overseas. We're going to be back here in just a minute, Linda's. We're going to just bring some other stations on board. So hang on here for just a moment here at Radio Liberty. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Our special guest this afternoon is Linda Chavez, who has written a wonderful book on the union movement in America today, its profound impact it has on certainly on our political system, and the really threat this is to the preservation of our way of life. The book is entitled Betrayal, How Union Bosses Shake Down Their Members and Corrupt the American Political System. Now, you commented in your book about the mobsters. Is the mob still working within our labor unions?
Well, some of your listeners may be old enough to remember the old classic film On the Waterfront, which was all about organized crime and the way in which it affected the Longshoremen's Union. Unfortunately, that is not something that is in our ancient past. In fact, it goes on to this very day. There are many unions in America where organized crime ultimately controls the union and even picks the leaders. And I describe in my book, An Affair to Remember, about the relationship between one of those mob-controlled union presidents, Arthur A. Coya, and his relationship with President Bill Clinton. He was very close to the president, met and had dealings with him more than 120 times, gave $4.8 million of union dues to help President Clinton and the Democrats. And in return, not only did he get lots of federal government contracts that went into the union worth tens of millions of dollars, but he also got a get-out-of-jail card, free card. He managed to avoid prosecution even though he was being investigated, and there was even a draft complaint written up by the Justice Department that would have put him behind bars. But because of his close relationship with Bill Clinton, he managed to avoid that prosecution.
Well, that was one nice thing about Bill. I mean, if you were his friend, why, he would do anything for you. For his enemy, he would destroy you. And there were an awful lot of people who were his enemies who, well, like Vince Foster and Ron Brown and Jim McDougal, and they had a very, very strange demise, as you might say.
Well, Mr. Arthur A. Coya managed to stay in power and continued to steal from the members of his union. He ultimately was forced out, but even after he was forced out, the agreement, the plea agreement he reached, allowed him to keep his entire yearly salary of $250,000 per year for life. He will draw that salary every day he takes a breath.
Isn't that nice? Well, but you know, the trouble is that the average union worker really doesn't have any idea the corruption of the hierarchy of the union, does he? And hold that, we'll be back here in just a moment at Radio Liberty. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest today is Linda Chavez, and we're talking about her book, Betrayal, going into the union bosses, and they're certainly taking advantage of the average individual working within the union. And just before we went to the break, while we were talking about some of the real serious problems, the average union worker really doesn't understand what's going on, whether the union hierarchy and how they're using their union dues to increase their own power.
Well, that's exactly what's happening, and in fact, the average union member in America today, I doubt, would support the socialist goals of the head of the AFL-CIO, John Sweeney. He is an avowed socialist. He's a member of the Democratic Socialists of America. They list him proudly on their website as one of their most illustrious members, and he's been very forthcoming in saying that he really wants to promote socialist goals in the United States.
And, of course, this is the antithesis of America. When you have socialism, you have a government that provides for the health and education and welfare of the people, but it also has to be able to control them. Now, well, you talk about something up to $35 million has been appropriated. Is this by one union or a number of unions to unseat President Bush?
Well, actually, the AFL-CIO says they will spend $44 million in their members' dues this year to defeat President Bush, and that's just a drop in the bucket. Individual unions are committing more, and in fact, one local union, a local 1199 of the Service Employees International Union in New York City, has committed $35 million. They are going to hire 1,000 political operatives and send them into battleground states. Not one penny of that $35 million will be spent where those union members live and work. It will all go outside to try to defeat President Bush.
Well, now, of course, you make the point here that the unions flout the law by failing to report any of their political spending out to the IRS. How come these unions have all of this money they don't pay any taxes on and spend it on political purposes without being held responsible? Certainly, there are all sorts of rules and regulations. For instance, if a Christian group was going to try to expose the voting record of, in this instance, John Carrier, but let's put it to some local Democratic congressman, it would become a federal crime if they were to publish his voting record within 60 days of the election. And yet you're saying that these unions can to take all this money that they're answerable to nobody for and spend it to elect their candidates?
Well, that's exactly right. In fact, you may recall that a few years ago, the Christian Coalition lost their tax-exempt status for a period of time for exactly that reason. They printed up voter guides, which simply listed how particular candidates stood on issues of importance to the Christian Coalition, and for handing those out, they lost their tax-exempt status from the IRS. Now, the National Education Association spends hundreds of millions of dollars on political spending. They hire 1,800 political operatives. They have millions of dollars that they devote specifically to political work, including phone banks and registering voters and getting out the vote and printing up literature, doing ads, all sorts of things. And yet when they file their tax returns, they claim that they spend zero on politics. Not 1 cent do they claim they spend on politics. And that's because they know that if they claimed what they actually spend on politics, they would have to pay taxes on it. And yet the IRS has allowed the National Education Association to get away with this for years. And it's only because of a complaint filed by the Landmark Legal Foundation that something may soon happen on this front.
Well, but you would think that certainly when the Republicans are in power, that they would want to enforce the law, especially if it is being used against Republican candidates. It doesn't seem that that's so much the case, though.
Well, I think part of the problem, Dr. Motif, is that what happens is you've got a lot of Republicans who are very concerned. They don't want to look like they're being political. And you may recall that when President Richard M. Nixon was in the White House, he used the IRS against his political enemies. And I think that every Republican today worries that they will be, called on the carpet if they do something to look into the activities of their political opponents. But in this case, it is really the union member that is being ripped off, as well as the taxpayers, because when the NEA gets away with this kind of political activity and it is essentially subsidized by you and me and all other taxpayers, even if we don't happen to be union members.
Well, I thought the McCain-Feingold bill was really all about doing away with all of this soft money that, was going to be used and was influencing elections. And the only thing that really McCain-Feingold seems to have accomplished is to limit education of the voters as far as the corruption of their elected representatives, and is not in any way stopping the soft money. Do you have this feeling that maybe McCain-Feingold had nothing to do with soft money and had everything to do with suppression of the truth?
Well, I'll tell you, it did dry up soft money from corporations, but it didn't have any effect really on the unions, because even though the unions can't give huge million-dollar contributions as some of them did to the Democratic Party now, they can take that same $1 million and spend it themselves, or they can simply hire people and put them in campaigns. And the problem is, the law allows them to do that so long as their contact is only with other union members or other union households. The problem is that is almost unenforceable. There's nobody out there watching to make sure once they are working for a Democratic candidate that they don't make telephone calls to anybody else but union members, or that they don't hand out campaign literature to anybody else but union members. And as we talked about earlier, I spent almost a decade working for a labor union, for the American Federation of Teachers, and I can tell you I saw with my own eyes exactly what was done, and they don't play by the same rules as everybody else.
The American Federation of Teachers, I laugh when you say that, because here's an organization, if there was ever an organization that was using its tax money to get people onto school boards and get legislation passed to prevent a decent education for our children, it's our educational organizations.
Well, that is absolutely true. The two big unions in public education are the NEA, it has almost 3 million members, and the much smaller AFT. And between the two of them, they are probably the most potent political force in American politics today. They will send the largest contingent to the Democratic Convention this summer, as they do every 4 years. And they raise more money and are more effective than virtually all of the other unions because they have very highly educated members, and they have huge treasuries, which they spend substantial portions on politics.
But, of course, what they have done, certainly at least here in the state of California, where I know something about at least the NAA, they have influenced the standards of education. And if there was any one group I would accuse of being responsible for dumbing down our students and preventing, you know, the traditional math and phonics and other standard means of education that work, there's one group that I would accuse of being responsible for the dumbing down of the American student. It would be the NEA.
Well, that is exactly right, and that's because that is really their policy. They oppose testing. They oppose testing of teachers who are in the classroom. They don't want to make sure that the teachers who are teaching our children are competent and should be there. They oppose testing, what they call high-stakes testing of students, and they've been one of the biggest opponents of the President's No Child Left Behind Act.
Well, now, one of the things you point out is that public employee unions, you know, they just say, well, you give us what we want, or we're going to go on a strike. You're not going to be water, sewage, you know, police protection or fire. You know, you give us whatever we want, and we're going to demand it, and we're going to get it, and they do. Now, at one time, when you had a civil service job, why you couldn't strike? And when that changed, you suddenly had a group that I think can be just as ruthless as the mafia can be, saying, we're going to get it, and if you don't give it to us, why, we're going to destroy your community. Have you had that feeling?
Well, it's more than a feeling. The research in my book, Betrayal, shows that public employee unions have caused enormous damage to our cities and our municipalities. I talk about one strike on the part of police officers in Prince George's County, Maryland. That's right here in the Washington, D.C. suburbs. It's one of the highest crime areas in the country, and when the police walked off their jobs, they left the Prince George's County jail to the prisoners, who then conducted a riot, and there were people who were harmed in that riot, and the police were outside on the picket line watching as the jail burned. So we see this kind of activity around the country right now in Boston. You may have heard John Kerry was scheduled to speak to the U.S. Conference of Mayors on Monday, but he was not allowed to speak because there was a union picket line thrown up, and he was frightened that he would alienate some of his Democratic union voters, and so he chose not to go speak to the mayors in Boston. And basically, that's the kind of stranglehold that some of the public employee unions have over the Democrats, because, after all, the Democrats wouldn't get elected in the first place were it not for the money from these unions to get them there.
Well, I think that basically all of this corrupts our electoral process, and I don't like to call it a democratic process because I don't believe in democracy. I believe in this concept of a republic and a government of law, but it seems to be we getting away from government of law towards what Plato warned us about, and that is mobocracy, because this is eventually what happens in a situation such as you have now, when whoever gets there and yells the loudest and demonstrates the most and has the most political clout eventually, of course, takes control of the power. And it's all about power. It's all about greed. And, of course, I think that the working man is being used in this whole ploy many times to his own detriment.
Well, and that is exactly what happens, because you're talking about people who pay, on average, $600 a year in union dues. That's a lot of money for the average working person, and all of that money ends up, a great deal of it ends up going into politics to support candidates that the members themselves don't support.
Is there any way they can get out of paying that?
There is. You can actually exercise what are called your Beck rights, but the problem is, if you do that, you will probably be lied to about how much money is due back. And in addition, you won't be able to vote on your union contracts or be able to vote for the representatives in that union. So you may end up out in the cold.
Well, we're going to be back here in just a moment with Linda Chavez, her book, Betrayal, and we'll tell you how to get the book when we get back.
Anglo-American establishment gives you the documentation for Professor Quigley's allegation that there was a secret society created in England that ultimately came to dominate England and ultimately came to dominate the United States of America. The Anglo-American establishment will give you the books that you can read, written by men who were actually involved in the original secret society. Professor Quigley opens his book saying that most people have heard of the Rhodes Scholarships, and most people, a few people, have actually heard that Cecil Rhodes wrote a confession of faith, which was attached to his first five wills, talking about the formation of a secret society. But what almost no one in America realizes today is that that secret society was actually formed and still exists to this very day. The Anglo-American Establishment by Professor Quigley, Bill Clinton's mentor, is one of the most important books you'll ever read, and available by calling 1-800-5-HIV-WAR.
This is health journalist Bill Sardi. In the 1970s, there was a group of Italian immigrants in the small town of Rosetto, Pennsylvania, who drew worldwide attention for their unusual cardiovascular health, despite their pasta diets. I recently uncovered the fact that their unusual health was attributed to the precious red wine which they imported from Italy. Today we know this as the French paradox, the fact that the French exhibit greater cardiovascular health, despite their fatty diet, because of the red wine they drink. Wouldn't it be great to enjoy the health benefits of red wine without the calories, alcohol, and sulfite preservatives? Well, now you can with Longevinex, the world's first stabilized red wine molecules preserved in an airtight capsule just like in a sealed bottle of red wine, equivalent to 5 glasses of the best red wine. Call 866-405-4000 to order Longevinex for healthy aging without the calories and alcohol. 866-405-4000.
Leading edge dentists know the profound effect dental materials and procedures have on the health of the entire body. If you've been searching for a holistic trained dentist who can safely treat you, look no further. Dr. David Biles has been a leader in the Santa Cruz dental community for nearly 20 years. He built a solid reputation providing exceptionally high quality cosmetic and restorative dental care long before learning the very real hazards of common dental practices. Now, as a faculty member of the Institute of Natural Dentistry, Dr. Biles has begun lecturing nationally to other dentists on alternative and complementary dental care. On request, Dr. Biles will safely remove toxic dental materials from your mouth while substituting them with safe, non-allergenic restorations. Call Dr. Biles today and take the next step to improve your health. With sedation and nitrous oxide available, Dr. Biles can help even the most anxious patients. Call 423-0121 and schedule a visit now. That's 423-0121.
Well, this is Dr. Stan. I just want to mention that we do sell Miracle Tooth health products here, Miracle Tooth soap products. We can't make any medical claims for them at all. I can only tell you that we get calls so frequently from people, you know, who have said this has helped their psoriasis, it's helped their rash, or helped their acne, or the neutralizing solution helps their heartburn, or the lower gastrointestinal tract. All we can do is suggest you try it and see if it helps. I know I wouldn't be without my Miracle 2 products. I certainly use the gel, and I use the Miracle 2 moisturizing soap on a regular basis. We've done it for a couple of years, my wife the same way, and it's amazing as people try these products, they love them, and of course we keep coming back and getting more and more of them. So if you're interested in learning more, you can go to our website or give us a call for a special introductory offer at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927 and ask for an introductory offer to Miracle 2 products. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty. Our guest this afternoon is Linda Chavez, and really a fascinating book, Betrayal, How the Union Bosses Shake Down Their Members and Corrupt American Politics. Linda, where can people get your book?
Well, they can get it at most local bookstores. It's out there and available. It's also available online at Amazon or at Barnes & Noble. And if you want to take a look inside and perhaps listen to me read some of it, I've got it at recorded version. You can sign on to my website at www.lindachavez.org. That's LindaChavez.org.
All right. Now, why do the big unions work with the Democrats? Why don't they work with the Republicans and try to get them to do their bidding?
Well, they do work with a handful of Republicans. They give about 95% of their money to the Democrats, but that leaves 5% left over to give to a handful of Republicans. And they work mostly with the Democrats and some moderate to liberal Republicans because they can convince them to pour more money into taxes and more money into government. The Democratic Party is the party of big taxes and bigger government, and that seems to be what the unions stand for, particularly since one out of every two union members today actually work for government. They don't work for the private sector. They work in government.
Well, now, of course, these unions within government themselves, are they a very effective tool as far as influencing government and, you know, their salaries, their benefits? Is that why they get such excellent benefits if you work for the government?
Absolutely. In fact, one of the stories I tell in my book is about what happens to cities that end up being really crippled by union contracts. And I talk about the city of Philadelphia, where back in the early 1990s, if you were just a starting employee for the city of Philadelphia, you started off with 52 paid vacation days a year, time off from your job. And that really was bankrupting the city. In fact, it literally drove the city of Philadelphia to the brink of financial disaster. And that's very common. And part of the reason, Dr. Stan, is that what happens is these unions end up putting lots of money into political campaigns. They elect the very Democrats who will then sit down with them at the bargaining table. And not surprisingly, those public officials are willing to give away the store. After all, it's not their money. It's somebody else's money, yours and mine.
And, of course, that was why, at one time, why if you belonged to a, you know, you were a civil service job and couldn't be fired, you could not belong to a union.
Well, that's all changed.
That's all changed today. And we have, it's sort of like a bottomless pit or a pocket, you know, a very, very deep pocket. What did the city in Pennsylvania do? Was it Pittsburgh or what?
It was actually Philadelphia. And what ended up happening is Mayor Ed Rendell, who was a Democrat, but a fairly moderate Democrat, was able to get the unions to back off because they really faced bankruptcy. And they did give up some of their vacation days, but I think they still ended up with something like 36 days, paid days off a year. It was down from 52, but it was a lot more than most workers are able to get.
You know, the things that are happening, it's just so incredible. Now, of course, it's a little off the subject, but here in California, they've started this new thing where, of course, if you say your wife has had a baby or your mother-in-law is sick, you can get fully paid vacation days, I don't know, a couple of weeks. And, you know, then what does your employer do? How does he get somebody to do the job? And where does he get the money to pay two salaries for the same job? This is going to, of course, eventually drive people out of California, but that has nothing to do with unions, but it just shows the absurdity.
Well, actually, it does have a great deal to do with unions, so let me explain to you why. What you're talking about is paid family leave, and that is the top priority of public employee unions, and in California, you in California are suffering precisely because you are one of the most unionized states in the country. In fact, when the rest of the country has been getting rid of unions, when employees have been deciding not to join unions, in California, you actually have had increases over the last decade in union membership, and much of that is in the public employee unions that negotiate such things as paid parental leave.
But, of course, what we're going to see, is, I'm sure, it's going to be more and more of the big industries just picking up and leaving and saying, we can't afford this. We've already got tremendous expenses with so many other things. This may very well be the toothpick that broke the camel's back, as it were.
That's exactly right.
All right, we're going to be back in just a moment. We welcome your calls from out across America for Linda Chavez. Give us a call at 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. This is a very important subject. It's time the American people really understood what is happening. And, of course, this disastrous effect. And Linda's point is so true that the average working man doesn't want socialism, but the people who control the unions do. And, of course, this will eventually destroy the goose that laid the golden egg. It'll destroy the fabric of our society and lead to, I believe, terrible disasters.
Mm-hmm.
Have you ever wondered about the boys we left behind in Vietnam, in Korea? Did you ever know that we left 25,000 American boys behind in Russia, in Siberia, at the end of the Second World War? Have you ever wondered what really happened at Oklahoma City, what really happened with the TWA 800 that went down off the eastern coast about a year ago? Well, ladies and gentlemen, all of the subjects are well covered in a fascinating book by Craig Roberts entitled The Medusa File. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, order The Medusa File. Actually, Craig Roberts was a police officer working on the Oklahoma City bombing. Now, this book has been suppressed very effectively across America, and it's self-published, but I promise you that there's no other book I know that will give you more contemporary history, frightening history that every American needs to know. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR now.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and let me just mention that we carry a Phonopoly set. Phonopoly is a wonderful game. It plays just like Monopoly, but it's designed to teach you and your children, your grandchildren, how to read and spell and pronounce words phonetically, because that's the key to learning how to read and read properly. And so we hope that many of you will give serious consideration to actually getting a Phonopoly set. Now, it's a board game. It's played just like Monopoly. It's not really one board game. It's five board games and two bonus games. And by the time you get through the third or fourth game, well, you're going to be reading at the same level as most high school graduates. In fact, I hope you'll be reading better than a lot of our college graduates. But under any circumstances, most of these programs are $300, $400, $500, $600. This is $139.95. Give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927, and ask for a Phonopoly set. And then we want to mention some of the new videos we have out. One of them is called Iraq, the Road to World Government, and it simply gives you the history of the events that led up to Iraq and how we're really moving towards world government. The second is Sustainable Development, the Road to World War III. And if you do not understand the background of this move towards sustainable development and controlling your property and controlling the population and how the environmental movement is really simply a cover for socialism, somebody once said that the environmental movement is like watermelon. It's green on the outside, but very red on the inside. And there really is a master plan. And what's amazing about this, it is not the downtrodden people who are pushing socialism. It's some of the wealthiest men in the world. You'll be amazed if you get our four tape, pardon me, if you get my talk on sustainable development, the road to world government. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty. Our guest this afternoon is Linda Chavez, and we're talking about her book, Betrayal. Now, you were actually nominated to become the Secretary of Labor in the initial Bush administration. Whatever happened to that?
Well, I was nominated by President Bush in January of 2001, and I was set to go up for my confirmation hearings. However, about a decade earlier, I had taken into my home a woman who was escaping a very troubled relationship. She was a very badly battered woman, and she had left her husband in Guatemala and come to the United States and ended up literally on the streets when she ran into a friend of hers from her home village. And that woman actually worked for a friend of mine who asked me if I would give her a place to live while she got back on her feet so that she eventually could return to her family in Guatemala. And I did so. She was in the country illegally. And because of that, and because I took her into my home, it became quite a brouhaha in Washington, as those things do. The woman actually ended up going to work for a neighbor of mine while she was living with me. And that woman, it turned out, was quite well connected. Her brother is the current ABC White House correspondent, and the woman herself works for the law firm that represented President Bill Clinton in the impeachment. So she was a very well-connected Democrat, and she apparently leaked to the press that this woman had lived in my house. And I thought it was a distraction and that it was going to be very difficult to get a fair hearing. And even though I did not believe I broke any laws, I did not hire the woman. She did not work for me. She worked for my neighbor. But nonetheless, I thought it was probably going to be a big distraction for the president, so I stepped aside.
What is that old saying about there's no good deed that will ever go unpunished?
Well, you know, I have taken in people into my home over the years when they needed help. I grew up in unfortunate circumstances. My father was an alcoholic and often had trouble finding work, and so I grew up needing the help of other people, and so I've tried to, in turn, reach out my hand, and I've taken in Vietnamese boat people and a couple of people, kids whose mother is on welfare, and in New York, I've helped pay for their education, and I've taken in other people as well. So I, you know, was happy to do this for this woman, and frankly, she has been able to put her life together. I was able to pay for her to go back home to Guatemala. She was ultimately able to come to the United States legally. She's now a legal resident here in the U.S., and her children now live with her. And so she has a much better life, and I'm happy, frankly, to have been able to help ease that way for her.
Well, maybe maybe you're a lot better off not being in that terrible situation of being in the cabinet and being in politics where there's just so much, you know, really it's just totally disreputable. They will target you for doing a good thing and then let people who are really crooks and criminals let off scot-free and never actively suppress things about people they like and then dig up dirt of no consequence on people they don't
like.
Well,
I must say, Dr. Stan, that the one almost amusing aspect of that whole brouhaha was Senator Ted Kennedy and some of the other Democrats ranting and railing about illegal aliens. I've never heard them very concerned about the number of people who cross illegally into the United States, except one who was fleeing an abusive husband and who ended up in my basement.
So these people really give hypocrisy a bad name.
Yes, they do.
Well, and what about Jimmy Hoffa? You write about Jimmy Hoffa in your book. And, of course, he's certainly one of the more colorful figures in union history here, wherever he may be today.
Well, Jimmy Hoffa, of course, is the former president of the Teamsters Union, who everyone believes was, in fact, murdered. There is some question about whether or not his body has been found, or at least not his body, at least the circumstances of his death having been told on the on his deathbed by one of the men who apparently was one of the assassins. But his son, James P. Hoffa, is currently the president of the Teamsters Union, and he came to power largely as part of a reform effort after Ron Kerry, the previous Teamsters president, got in trouble for using the Democratic National Committee essentially to fund his reelection. He laundered money from the union through the DNC and through various Democratic donors to take union dollars and put it into his own campaign for president, which is illegal. And that ended up costing all of us millions of dollars because we had to pay, the government had to pay for two elections that were overseen by the government. And James P. Hoffa, Jimmy Hoffa's son, is now the president. And for a while, it looked like he might actually have a decent relationship with a Republican president. But all of that went by the wayside as soon as the election cycle rolled around. And Jimmy Hoffa is now firmly ensconced in the Kerry campaign. And all of President Bush's efforts to reach out to James Hoffa have been for naught.
One of the things you point, tell this story about when they actually were having a strike and they brought in snipers and they were actually shooting at the replacement workers, and the case went to the Supreme Court. Why don't you tell that story? Because this shows some of the rather flawed reasoning of our Supreme Court, almost as if they're encouraging this sort of thing. Would you like to tell that incredible story?
Well, it is an incredible story. I call it a legal apartheid because there is one set of laws that applies to everybody else and a completely different set of laws that seem to apply to unions and union bosses. And in this instance, there was a very violent strike that went on with one of the overnight delivery companies called Overnight. And there actually was one of the drivers for that company was actually shot, and several drivers were shot at during the course of this very long and bitter strike. However, they were not able to be prosecuted because of an earlier decision, a decision that goes back to 1973, I believe, called Enmans. And in that, the Supreme Court said that even though we have laws that say you can't use violence to extort money for labor unions or for companies or anything else, that it is illegal to use violence to try to extort money from an employer, It's called the Hobbs Act. Even though that law is on the books, when the Supreme Court heard a case involving a union that had used violence in the course of a strike, the Supreme Court mysteriously said that so long as the end of the union's activity is a legal one, in other words, higher wages or more, you know, benefits, and as long as that is a legal end, then the means that are used to get to that end cannot be illegal under federal law. And essentially what that did is to say to union bosses, if you need to use violence in order to get your way, so long as what you're working for is union representation or higher wages or more benefits, go ahead and use it. The federal government will not be able to prosecute you. And that Supreme Court decision, which should have been overturned immediately by Congress enacting new laws, has not ever been touched, in part because the unions exert so much influence with Democrats and with a handful of Republicans that a new law cannot be passed.
But, of course, the thing that is so disturbing is that seven of the Supreme Court justices, many of whom are corrupt, of that seven are Republican appointees. That is deeply disturbing to me.
Yes, that is that is indeed. And unfortunately, sometimes, well, in this case was actually back in the early 1970s, and I don't know how many of the nominees or how many of the justices on that particular court, but of course that was at the time when we had a very liberal Republican appointee who was Chief Justice throughout the 1960s, and I'm not sure if he was still in there in 1970.
You're speaking now of Earl Warren.
Earl Warren, that's right. I'm trying to remember when Warren actually left. I'm not sure he was Chief Justice when that decision was handed down, but the fact is that even today, when you look at people like David Souter, who was a Republican appointee, he has certainly been very liberal, and Sandra Day O'Connor often votes with the liberals as well. So
don't forget Justice Kennedy.
And Justice Kennedy as well. He has a very mixed record. Sometimes he votes on the conservative side, and sometimes on the sometimes on the liberal side. And so does Justice O'Connor. They sort of seem to toss a coin up in the air and see which side it's going to come down on to know which side they're going to vote on.
You tell another story of about this fellow. He's a truck driver, I guess, and of course he happens to be black, and he's accosted racially and called a nigger and all of these things, and we're going to kill you. And then they pull him out of his truck. Six people beat him, and they stabbed him five times with an ice pick, and nothing is done to the Teamsters.
That is exactly right. Those people who committed that terrible atrocity to this day have not been punished. I also talk about another Teamster strike. The worst hotel fire in U.S. history involved a hotel in San Juan, Puerto Rico. The Teamsters were trying to represent the hotel employees there, and when they were not able to get the contract they wanted, a couple of the Teamsters actually left the union meeting and set the hotel on fire. Nearly 100 people died, and more than 200 people were seriously burned. It was the single worst hotel fire in U.S. history, and that was right out of a union strike. And again, even though those individuals ended up going to jail for arson, they could not be prosecuted under the Hobbs Act.
How about murder?
They can be prosecuted for murder, but, you know, often when you have a case like this, you want to have a whole battery of charges to be able to bring. First of all, to make sure that the person stays in jail a good long time, and the fact that the Hobbs Act, which is supposed to prevent violence and extortion, is not able to be used when it's applied against unions involved in a strike.
Ladies and gentlemen out there listening, this book, if you've got low blood pressure, it's a great, great book. But if you've got high blood pressure, you want to be careful reading it. It'll really get your ire up, as it did me. Let's go to Roger, who's calling from Pennsylvania. And again, our number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. Roger, you have a question or comment?
Yes, several, please. I don't suppose that Jimmy Hoffa Jr. was ever implicated in Ed Rendell's enlisting the Teamster thugs to beat up the Clinton protesters down in Philly while he was still mayor there.
Well, he might very well have been. I'm not sure, actually. I'm trying to remember exactly when that occurred. Was that in 96?
Yeah, thereabouts. It was very enjoyable.
Yeah, I think Hoffa did not actually come in until after that election in 96.
Yeah.
That was when he actually came in. The Teamsters were very much involved. They did The gentleman is absolutely right. There was a situation where some protesters were actually beaten up by union thugs, in this case Teamsters, and I don't believe there were ever any charges brought against the Teamsters. I think they actually tried to bring charges against the poor brother and sister who ended up getting beaten up in that event.
And, you know, the tragedy is that this is just so unjust, and yet this is being actively encouraged by our Congress, which refuses to, you know, represent the people. They simply go along with the corruption. I guess that's the American way to do it. Go ahead, Roger. Anything else you want to say?
Yeah, of course, now Governor Rendell is still a defendant in that lawsuit, I guess, with Judicial Watch. It was very enjoyable watching the Rendell video depositions they collected. Anyway, it's upwards of 60% of the union dues for some unions, particularly the teachers' unions, go to buying politicians, and I prefer to buy my own, of course. So the National Right to Work Legal Defense Foundation was very helpful in formulating exempt oneself from the non-collective bargaining-related activities portion of the union dues. And in fact,
Roger, do you have a question?
Yeah, just a lot of people don't know that they don't have to join the union even if they don't work in a right-to-work state.
You may not have to, but when you're met at the door by 15 big burly fellows who say you don't really want to work if you're not a member of the union, you don't have to. But you sure better if you value your teeth.
And by the way, Roger, as you well know, in the construction industry, union hiring halls actually do the hiring. If you're a carpenter or a laborer or a mason or any of those jobs, you don't go to the employer to be hired. You go to the union hall and they assign you. So, sure, you can ask for your money back. But I would just like to bet that you will not be seeing many paychecks if you do so. And the other problem with that, even though I think that the Right to Work Committee is to be commended for what they have done, they've done a yeoman's work on this, nonetheless, I think the other problem is that if you opt out using your Beck rights, you end up not being able to vote on the contract, you end up not being able to have any say in the union itself, and I would rather pass a law that says no money goes from union dues to pay for anything other than the core purposes of the union. That would take 80% of the money away, and I think it would deprive them of all the money they're throwing into politics.
Amen to that. I certainly agree with you, and I think it's so vitally important that people realize that these things are going on behind the scenes, and we really don't have free and open elections. We have a massive program, and they buy television ads, and they lie on a lot of the ads, and they send out these slick brochures, and they lie on the brochures, And I'm not just saying it's just the one side that does it. It's both sides that do it. Money is the mother's milk of politics. If you don't have money, you don't get elected. It's almost like we're creating a new hierarchy of the wealthy win. In fact, if John Kerry becomes our next president, he will be far the most wealthy president we've ever had due to his wife's money.
That is exactly right.
And I think that it's about time maybe we had people who represent the American people rather than representing, people of great wealth. And I don't like either. I'm not pushing Bush and I'm not pushing Kerry. I'm just saying, think about what's happening, and freedom is lost when good people aren't involved. Well, Linda, what is the end result? What are your thoughts? What are your solutions? Because you've raised a lot of very good issues, but what are we going to do about it?
Well, I have a whole chapter entitled Ending the Cycle of Corruption, and what I just said to Roger, which was that the first thing we have to do is get union money out of politics and only allow for voluntary money. I believe you as an individual ought to be able to give whatever money you want to a particular candidate so long as it is immediately disclosed, but I do not believe that unions ought to take union dues that are tax deductible and pour that into Democratic coffers. So I'd like to get unions to stop doing that, and I'd also like to open up the books of unions, because this is the big problem when Roger talks about exercising your Beck rights. If your union tells you, as one woman explained to me, she pays $30 in union dues every other week, but when she exercised her Beck rights, they said she was entitled to 8 cents back on that $30. Well, that's nonsense. They spend a lot more than that on things unrelated to the contract. But there's almost no way for a union member to know and to prove what has been done unless they actually go into court, because the unions are very deceptive in the way in which they do their books. It's also one of the things that leads to tremendous corruption. I have a whole chapter in the book about the kind of corruption, including some stories about the teachers union in Washington, D.C. and Miami. You would not believe what the two presidents of those local unions did and the almost $10 million they stole and how they spent it on everything from sexual instruction videos and Python print pajamas to round-the-world trips and first class and staying in first-class hotels. So that's the other thing, is to open up the books, to have the kind of same kind of rules we apply to corporations with independent auditors using generally accepted accounting practices and going in and making sure that union members know how their money is being spent.
Well, I think until such time as the IRS applies the same laws to unions that it does everybody else, we'll continue having the problem. But I want to thank you so very much for being with us.
Thank you, and remember, it's www.lindachavez.org. You can drop me a note or listen to the book online.
God bless. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Now, most people laugh at the idea that there is or has been a secret society. I wanted to tell you about a tape we have. It's a talk I gave before the Concerned Women of America some years ago, and it basically goes back into the background behind the secret society, which was formed in England and eventually came to America and came to be known as the Council on Foreign Relations. It goes into the background of Cecil Rhodes. And how does that secret society that he created impact on you today? If you read the works of Professor Carol Quigley, who was Bill Clinton's mentor, you'll understand that Professor Quigley is probably one of the leading experts today on history, but also a man who had the courage to speak out. You need to get the four-tape set, The Secret Government, to understand what Professor Quigley taught Bill Clinton. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, because America is under attack today.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and we just want to mention that Radio Liberty is primarily listener-supported, and we do hope that many of you out there in the listening audience will give serious consideration to helping us. We have to pay for the time, month in, month out, but we appreciate you if you would like to give serious consideration to joining the Radio Liberty family of supporters, because that's how we've been able to continue doing what we do for many years, and we'll bring you the information you're not going to get elsewhere. And so we certainly ask that you give serious consideration to joining the Radio Liberty family. And when you do, you get our four best tapes of the month. You get our monthly newsletter. But the biggest thing is you are actually helping us do what we do 5 hours a day, not only on this station, but on networks all across America. And we're, of course, heard certainly on the internet 5 hours a day. We're heard on shortwave 4 hours a day. We have our weekend program, which is heard on KKMC, but it's also heard out across America on 34 or 35 other stations. So we know that there is a people are looking for answers. We're going to give you the information you're not going to get from most places. We have two corrupt political parties. They are both intent upon establishing a one-world government and a new world order. Both political parties are pushing globalism, shipping our factories overseas, shipping our jobs overseas, devaluating our currency. But nobody's going to tell you that. You're supposed to be liberal or conservative, right or left, Republican or Democrat. It's about time the American people understood that we are losing our freedom. There is a plan to do this. We're not going to bring our boys home from the Middle East. We are going to continue there as we move from war to war to war. Well, Dr. Stan back here, and right now, this is Dr. Stan. I want to mention that, as you know, we just moved to this new frequency on shortwave, if you're listening to our program on shortwave. And if we should get a frequency change, I hope that we will have notification ahead of time. We have not been notified, and so at least for the time being, we will remain our shortwave on 9.5. 4-3-0, but this could be changed at any time, our evening program as well. So if you have problems, you can always call our 800 number, 1-800-544-8927, or certainly go to our website at radioliberty.com, and you can find what our frequency is. But right now, we have not been notified of the possibility of a frequency change, although the power hour has been changed, at least on the shortwave outlet. Well, for right now, let me simply remind you that Radio Liberty, it looks to your help so we can continue doing what we do 5 hours a day. If you'd like to get a free copy of our newsletter, give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. And also, we hope many of you will go to our website at radioliberty.com, where you can, of course, listen to our radio programs on the Internet, 3 hours a day on Radio Liberty and 2 hours a day on Genesis, 1 hour a day on the American Freedom Network. And there are links there that you can actually go to find the other stations. You can pull down our newsletters, and there's a great deal of information on those newsletters. You can certainly take a look at the products we carry. And one of them, we do carry the Berkey products. If you buy the big Berkey, the Berkey Light through Radio Liberty, well, you'll get a 4-tape set or a video that we produce. So go to our website, look at the various products. We have Sanjian radios, shortwave radios. If you are interested in listening to us on shortwave, getting our evening or programs or afternoon programs, we actually have, of course, the Phenopoly. We have the Miracle. Well, we have a certain soap products, which we won't mention here. But take a look, and you may find something with Robinson Homeschool Curriculum. We're going to be having a new program to tell you what to do and for civil defense purposes. It is probably the finest one we've seen. I was at a meeting this last weekend. There was a woman there, was an instructor for FEMA, and when we were saying, you know, what is the government planned, what sort of arrangements they have, and this woman who's an instructor for FEMA said, we don't have any plans. I mean, this is up to you and your local community to come up with a plan for yourself. I mean, you don't really expect the government, the nanny state, is going to, you know, do everything for you. You're going to have to make plans for yourself, ladies and gentlemen. The Swiss have a full civil defense system. The Soviets have a full civil defense system. The Chinese have a full civil defense system. They know that a major war is coming, and we have nothing. Well, we're going to have this information for you in the near future. It'll be available. Tremendous information, books, CDs, other information that you will need to begin making your preparations for what lies ahead. And if you don't make your preparations, you have nobody to blame but yourself. So we'll be covering this in subsequent programs. We do hope that if you have not yet read my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, or seen the video, you'll get it. We hope if you have not seen my video of the Iraq, the Untold Story, which explains why we are in Iraq today, and it comes with or without a syllabus. You really need to get that, and you need to have the information. We have a new video on sustainable development, and you can get that with our sustainable development syllabus and or with our 4-tape set on sustainable development, and understanding that this is a program to transform the world and take us into a world government. We have a new video. It's called Iraq, the Road to World War III. That's Iraq, the Road to World Government, actually, is the title of it. Iraq, the Road to World Government. All of these are available by calling 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. And then we ask you to pray for America, to pray for revival, to pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision and protection until next week at the same time. May the Lord be with you.